We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're from Canada.
Yes, I can tell.
Welcome back to Overnight America, late night hookup. I always enjoy the time we get to simulcast with our friends in Canada. The Late Shift with Drex, about to join them in just a couple of seconds. We always have some fun here. Let's give it a try.
St. Louis. Ryan, welcome back to the shift.
Hey, Drex, I love the song. What a great song there.
Show me the way to St. Louis from the Easy Beats. Isn't it very strange that that's an Australian band doing a song about the city that you love?
I like it. I was listening to it as I was monitoring down the line. Do you monitor us down the line during the break? I'm just curious.
Matt does, but I can't hear you in the booth.
Oh, okay. So I was listening to the song. I was getting into it, and I thought, wow, what a great song to play there.
Apparently, the Little River Band did a cover of it as well.
Oh, cool. I think
Bob,
still
our producer, hates it. Bob, our producer, cannot stand
what?
It. He thinks it's an awful. He says it sounds like a tourism board put it together.
Yeah, it does sound that, but I like it still.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, okay. Come and see the Arch, he said. Yeah, let's do that. You know, I'm planning a trip to come and see you sometime next year.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'm going to plan a trip, and maybe if we can work it out, and I'm sure you know the right people, we're going to try and figure out to see if I can do a couple of shows from your building.
Absolutely. We can set that up for you. That wouldn't
we
be a problem.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has been a busy day in the United States of America with a few celebrities and a lot of well-heeled people getting in a bunch of trouble over some bribery scandals, huh?
I don't get this, the whole idea of this. I don't understand why they would spend so much money to get their kid into a college the kid obviously doesn't belong in. If they have to bribe someone to get them in there, what's going to happen? They're going to show up. They're going to realize very quickly they made a mistake. They're probably going to flunk out, or are they going to have to spend more money to get the grades up, or what's going to happen after that? It's just a bad idea.
Fake it till you make it. I think that's what's going on here. I think what this shows us is, guess what? There are some people out there, even though they may be smart and extremely wealthy and very good at what they do, they still have stupid children.
They are not smart. But let me ask this. If you were a kid and you found out your parents were going to spend $500,000 or $1 million or whatever it is to get you into the school you want to get into, or they said, well, you can go to your second choice and we'll just give you the $500,000. Well, who would do that? Why wouldn't you just take the money as a kid, go to a school you belong in, as opposed to paying off someone to get in a school you don't belong in?
I would imagine that if you were born into wealth or maybe experience wealth very early on as a young child, and let's say that, you know, I think it's fair to say that Felicity Huffman's kids and William H. Macy's kids, probably are kids very much like that. You know, mom and dad hit the big time sort of, in their 30s and 40s. Sort of having wealth around you, I don't think that maybe they thought it was such a big deal. But I think if you came from nothing, you may think it's a big deal.
$500,000 is a ton of money, even to, I think, wealthy people, I would think. How wealthy do you have to be before $500,000 doesn't mean anything to you? Seriously.
I think you and I and all of your listeners across the United States and our listeners across Canada, I think we always knew that there were people who were well-heeled, who were able to buy their way into certain things, college one of them. And I guess now we've kind of come to realize that, yeah, that's probably happening.
Yeah. Did you go to college?
I went to college. I got into radio when I was very young. I started working professionally in radio when I was 16 years old. So after I finished high school, I worked full-time in the radio industry, didn't do any tertiary education. Then when I wanted to become a program director, and I know that you were a program director for a while as well, I decided to go back to school and learn that skill and add it to my repertoire.
Interesting.
So I did that in my 20s.
Okay, yeah. I went to the university. I had that experience. I knew where I wanted to go. I only applied to one place and got in. It wasn't a hard school to get into, but they had a great broadcast school.
Yeah, which school did you go to?
Central Michigan.
And you did a college radio show and the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. They had a great college radio program. They do a great on both sides, TV and radio, for the kids. But I wanted to go to a school that would allow you to get the experience as a freshman. Some of the bigger programs, you had to, like, work your way up. And by the time you're junior, senior, maybe you could get into the radio booth. But, you know, where I went to, you can get in right away. I really enjoyed it. It was what I did. I mean, I was doing as much as they had absolutely let me do. And I'm glad I went to that program.
Were you doing sort of college radio and working for one of the local stations at the same time to sort of make some cash?
Kind of. This is actually a pretty funny story. So when I was a sophomore, I was still working at the college radio station, and you do it just for fun. You know, you don't get paid to do something like that. You do it for the experience. And then I was working late one night at the college radio station, went to the bathroom right when there was a program director for a station in Grand Rapids, Michigan, also using the bathroom. That program director was actually talking to the honor students, which I wasn't a part of. I wasn't even close to an honor student. But I just happened to meet him in the bathroom. We talked, and he offered me a job to be a part-time board op. So I started commuting an hour to Grand Rapids on the weekends to work, and that got me my first paid gig.
See, that's the thing. Eager beavers, man, get the work. If you're willing to put in the hard yards, someone will give you a leg up.
I know. You have to put the work in, though. And yes, there's a lot of luck that goes into it, but man, it works. So that was how I got into radio. And I can't imagine if my parents tried to bribe my way into anything in my life and how successful that would be. You know, it doesn't work.
It makes you wonder how many levels of life do people pay off other people to make sure that their kids or themselves can be involved in something. Hey, listen, can I play some audio for you?
Sure.
So Lori Loughlin's daughter, from Full House, Fuller House on Netflix, is one of the Hollywood celebrities caught up in this bribery scandal. Her daughter, Olivia Jade, is a social media celebrity. Mm-hmm. So I want to play some audio here. This is her giving a tour of her University of Southern California dorm room. It's had more than 1.1 million views. Listen to this. Listen to this.
I am doing a dorm room tour. So I have a roommate. I'll show you guys like the full room, but like I'm not going to go into her stuff, obviously. Today, Amazon is coming to shoot some of my room because they hooked me up with like basically everything in my dorm and we're super sweet.
I think she said like 17, like totally times.
Oh my goodness. It's just,
I got some more for you. This nugget of gold. Have a listen.
I do want the experience of like game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
Yeah. Wow. That's what we call in the media the audio that's going to come back and bite you on the backside.
I don't even care about it. What happened to your whoosh sound effects? Whoosh, whoosh.
Did you not swoosh it? Did you?
I didn't hear the swoosh.
I do want the experience of like.
Bob, you broke the cardinal rule.
Oh my goodness. I was looking forward to this. I love the swooshes. Hey, Full House. Did you watch Full House growing up?
Oh, of course I did.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was popular in all other countries or if it was just like an American thing.
Oh, it was. I watched it because of Dave Coulier, who is a good Canadian kid. Remember his job in the show? He was a radio DJ, remember, in San Francisco.
Was he a DJ?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't remember him ever having a job. He did the TV show at the end.
Well, Bob Saget was the host of what was it, Good Morning San Francisco something, or whatever that show was. Yeah. And then Dave Coulier's character was a radio DJ.
Oh, I remember he had the puppet, the woodchuck or whatever.
Yeah, I think that was part of it, wasn't it?
I thought that was a TV show. It was a kid's TV show.
Right, yeah. How long did that show even run the first time around?
I don't know, a long time. I actually knew someone that dated Dave Coulier.
Oh, was it Alanis Morissette?
No, I wish. It was.
That's what the song Ironic's about.
We had a family friend. Their daughter dated Dave Coulier for a little bit. He was in the, you know, Detroit area where I lived. And, you know, it's a long story, but I never actually asked her about it. But it was always it's fun to name drop, I guess. But yeah, that show was great. It was widely popular here. Do you know all the words to the theme song?
Oh, I don't even remember. I didn't even watch the remake on Netflix. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave that in the 90s with Reebok pumps. I don't need to relive that part of the 90s.
You don't want to pump up your shoes?
Did you have a pair of Reebok pumps when you were a kid?
No, my parents were cheap. They always got like the knockoff brand that didn't work. You know, it kind of looked a little bit.
The LA Gear shoes?
Oh, man, those weren't knockoff. LA Gear was the real deal. These were more like Kmart brand that had like a little plastic bump on it that made it look like you were pumping it, but it actually did nothing.
Right, and the kids knew. The kids at school knew. They knew.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they all knew. Yeah. I didn't know any better. I mean, that's just the way things go in our family.
Can I read you something that is going to make you even more angry about rich people getting their kids into college?
Oh, sure.
I think you'll like it. So Daniel Golden is a writer for ProPublica, and he wrote this great little op-ed today, and I just want to read the first couple of paragraphs to you. He says, my 2000 book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates, was intended as a work of investigative journalism, but many of its more affluent readers embraced it as a how-to guide for years afterward. They inundated me with questions like, how much do I have to donate to get my son or daughter into Harvard or Yale or Stanford? Some even offered me significant sums of money, which I declined, to serve as admission consultants. They may have been motivated by a tale I tell in the book about a youth whose admission to Harvard appears to have been cemented by a $2.5 million pledge from his wealthy developer father. The then obscure Harvardian, or I don't know how you say that word, would later vault to prominence in public life, and his name is Jared Kushner.
Oh, wow. What a Paul Harvey bit you did there. You pulled the name at the end, yeah.
I was so surprised to read this because, and look, that wouldn't surprise me that if Jared's grades out of high school weren't that great, you got an extremely wealthy family that, we can't have Jared going to, Michigan State or Southern Florida. So let's pay a bunch of cash and get him into Harvard. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Wouldn't you like to have so much money to see what you would do? I'd like to find out if having that much money would change me. I really would.
I think it would change you.
You think so? You think I would do that for my kid if I had all that money?
Flush with cash?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would want to do what's best for him, but I don't think I'd be able to bribe him into a school he doesn't belong in.
Yeah. Like, what would that cost? I think the Felicity Huffman one was a $15,000 donation. But then when you look at the Laurie Loughlin, that was $500,000. So I guess it varies from person to person what they're willing to pay to get their kids into a place that they want.
Yeah, it all varies. And they're paying these kids to go and take their kids' SATs or ACTs or whatever to pump their scores up, or they're paying recruiters to make it sound like their viable athletic skills could get them into a scholarship situation.
Including photoshopping their faces onto stock athletes.
It is
photos.
So bad. It is so bad. Could you imagine? I'm a short guy, but like, let's say I was trying to apply for a college and I photoshop myself onto someone dunking, and then I show up to the admissions interview and they look at me and they say, "There is no chance you dunked. How in the world?" And then wouldn't that immediately disqualify you? But people just went along with it. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's strange. But look, I think we all know that money talks.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's sad. People get mixed up with these sort of things. And what's going to happen to the kid? Like, they're going to be able to keep up if they couldn't get in to begin with. Like, any of these kids going to Yale, like, they're going to be able to keep their grades up. Yeah, right.
No, I think they'll be exposed for the dummies they are. So, and look, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but look, if you're not smart enough to get into a certain school, then you're just not smart enough. It doesn't mean you're a bad person or means that you can't sort of learn something or be educated. It just means that you're just not right for that particular school. That's not a bad thing.
And it also means that as if there's not other great schools you can go to and still have a great fulfilling experience if you even want to go to school. Like, the social media star doesn't even sound like she wants to be there. Just she's doing tours of her dorm room as if that's what school's all about.
And it's sponsored by Amazon. Oh, what parallel universe hell do we live in? How have we gotten to this point that a college student whose parents allegedly paid her way into a school doesn't care about school? She's there to party and do a tour and give props to Amazon for supplying all the furniture.
And what's she doing living in a dorm? Wouldn't you be able to get yourself bribed your way off campus to go live somewhere nice and go to the dorm where you got to wear flip-flops to go to the bathroom and the shared showers and junk? Get out of here.
Well, it depends on which dorm room. Maybe they had the executive suite where you get your own bathroom, maybe. I don't know.
My dorm was terrible. There was five guys jammed into a dorm that should have held four. And,
oh, no.
Oh,
that's
it was terrible.
Recipe for disaster.
It was
how often was food left out on counters?
Oh, all the time. Like, it was a regular thing.
Gross.
But mostly in the dorm, you leave a lot of the food inside the cafeteria. But, of course, people leave drinks and things out, and it smells bad, and everyone has bad hygiene, and just no good.
And here's the thing, too, is while many college students sort of, I'll go eat at the cafeteria, but some are just like, I'm not eating that. I'd prefer to cook something myself, like, some two-minute ramen or something.
Oh, I love ramen. Do you love ramen?
Of course I do.
Oh. You know, there's do they have fancy ramen places in Vancouver?
Oh, of course they do. Absolutely. Charging $12-13 a bowl, it's ridiculous.
I don't get it. Just the classic ramen. I don't know how you can improve on that. It's so good.
Well, hang on. What's your version of the classic ramen? Out of the packet or the Japanese ramen? Because the Japanese ramen is the classic ramen.
Oh, weird. Okay, so this is how I do it. They come in just little packets. They're about 25 cents each, you know, the little plastic.
Sure.
And they come in a brick. So what I do is I fold it, and then I fold it again so they're in fours. Boil it, okay, so you get the noodles in there nice and soft. Then I drain the water and add the little powder afterwards with a little bit of butter and mix it together. That's how I do the ramen.
Wow, that's not even ramen, but that's all right. It's your version of ramen.
What's ramen to you?
Well, ramen is a Japanese thing, right? So it comes down to the broth. So you got to get the right mix of edamame, which is a mix between sort of pork and beef broth, but also seafood as well. So you have the mix of those broths, and then you have the noodle, and it could be any type of noodle that they put in there. It usually comes with a semi-boiled egg that's being cut in half, maybe a fatty loin cut of pork, and then maybe something on top as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the traditional ramen. Yeah.
What a crazy. There's like 12 steps there. That's a lot
of
steps.
You'd love it though. I guarantee. What's Ben saying?
Oh, he agrees with you. He's all about cooking. Ben's big into that.
I tell you what, if you guys ever come to Vancouver, I'll take you out for Vancouver ramen. And you know what? When I come to St. Louis, what is you know when you go to Philadelphia, you get a Philly cheesesteak. What is the thing that everybody eats in St. Louis?
Oh, you'll love it here. So there's a bunch of great foods here. Toasted ravioli is very popular. So you do sauce. You dip it onto the side. That's very popular.
I think I saw that on a Guy Fieri show.
Oh, it's great. They have great barbecue here. Some of the best barbecue, and they don't get enough credit for how popular the barbecue is here, and they do some really creative things with it. Emo's Pizza is popular here too. Very thin pizza, and it uses this special Provel cheese that's only used in this area. Emo's is a controversial style pizza because mostly outsiders hate it, but the people here love it. It's like a family tradition for them. We do the Ted Drew's frozen custard. It's very popular here too.
So yes, I love frozen custard.
Oh, we got some wonderful food here in St. Louis.
Bobby, can we move the entire show to St. Louis? Are we able to do that? Can we?
Do it for a week.
We can do the show from anywhere. Let's just do it permanently.
We'd love to have you here. You got to get down. Let's set it up.
And I don't want to upset your listeners, but I've heard that Kansas City has better barbecue than St. Louis. Is this true?
Not lately. We got a Pappy's down the street from here. It's just unbelievable. I think they were voted best ribs in the country.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then we do Sugar Fire, does some specialty barbecue things. They have let me tell you about this, what they call the St. Lunatic Burger. So this is the wonderful burger they make. So they take the Emo's Pizza as the buns. They put toasted ravioli with the sauce, Provel cheese, and then they also put the regular burger in there, and they put a little sauce inside. They smash it all together. So they put all the St. Louis foods in one burger.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to go and get one.
Oh, yes. Yes, I want one of those. Thanks for making me hungry in the middle of the night, Ryan Recker from KMOX in St. Louis.
I know, Drex. It's a pleasure every time we get to hook up here. I'm glad we do it.
Let's chat in a week from today. How does that sound?
It's going to be about 80 things that will happen between now and then. So, yes, please, let's do it.
I'll keep a list. Ryan, good to chat. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Drex.
That is Ryan.
Oh, isn't that fun? Hooking up with Canada, all across Canada, talking about St. Louis food. Isn't that cool? It's Overnight America. KMOX. Oh, throwing that in there. How about that? Well, welcome back to Overnight America. So we had fun with Drex there just a little bit ago, the late shift with Drex. Oh, boy. I wanted to talk some more food with him. Maybe I'll do that some other time. You know, there's a lot of food I'm sure I could have brought up to him with things he could enjoy. I would love for him to come down here to St. Louis. You know what one of the big food debates online right now? And I'm going to give the phone number to this. So if anyone wants to give their power rankings for this, I would love to hear it. The number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So here's the question. How would you rank these bags of chips? And a person online did a little video, and they bought one of those party packs, a Frito-Lay party packs, where it has the variety of different little miniature bags of chips. Here's the different chips they have. Fritos, Lay's Barbecue, Lay's Classic, Doritos Cool Ranch, and Cheetos. And you have to rank them from 1 to 5. What's your power ranking between those 5? Okay. What's the number one? Like, if you're trying to seed these things March Madness style, I think looking at it just the way it is, if I were to just grab one, it's a luncheon scenario, and I have the option to pick anything out of there, I'm going Fritos number one. And I think you have to go Fritos number one. I like the Cheetos. I think the Cheetos taste better. But a scenario where you're getting the powder on your fingers, I can't do that. I have to save that for a specific time. And, you know, you just don't want to be licking your fingers all day. With that said, I would still put Cheetos at number two. Number three would be the classic Lay's. Number four would be the barbecue Lay's. And for me, the last would be the Doritos Cool Ranch. I think the Doritos Cool Ranch is one of the most overrated chips. And I don't know why so many people go goo-goo gaga for it. Don't understand. People are, oh, you got to do it. Like the Taco Bell tacos where they make the Doritos shells. Totally overrated. I don't know why anyone liked those. It's not as good as the original. And it's just messier. It doesn't make it taste better. Ugh. So people are doing this giant debate online. The Frito-Lay rankings, the power rankings. I think it's hilarious myself. So maybe you'll see that online. You'll be able to talk it up yourself. Let's see. What else do I got? I wanted to talk about the movie that's out, Captain Marvel, and the controversy around it. I talked a little bit about the controversy, I think yesterday's show or maybe the night before, but it did very well at the box office, but it is getting very poor ratings online. And there's some different reasons why that's happening. I want to talk to you about that. And if you've seen Captain Marvel, if you're a big superhero fan and you're one of the millions of people that went out to go see it, tell me, did you like it? 314-436-7900 is the number. I want to know if these ratings and the people that are giving it very poor ratings when it comes to the, you know, the different Rotten Tomato scores or whatever, if it's warranted or it's not, because there's a lot of debate that they're not warranted reviews that are coming in. But I want to hear from you if you thought it was good or bad. Or you can call 800-925-1120. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back. Yes, another 20 minutes or so. Thanks for joining us here on KMOX. I love when we have a chance to hook up with Drex over in Canada. So I wanted to talk about this whole issue with Captain Marvel. I'm not going to see it. I mean, there's a chance that my wife brings it home from the library sometime, maybe 4 months down the road or whatever. She sees it on the rack and grabs it. But there's a lot of people that are upset about this in different ways. Some people are upset because the rating's low. Some people are upset because they say it's a bunch of angry old white guys that don't like the idea of a female superhero, which is just so stupid. But what I'm going to concentrate on is how they're rigging the system online and why that is a problem. So what you've seen in the last couple of days was Captain Marvel came out in the theaters. It's the latest Marvel superhero movie, and it's played by Brie Larson, and she's the hero in this. I guess there's been some delays or whatever, but it finally came out this past weekend, made like $150 million in the United States, so done pretty well worldwide. It's not the highest grossing opening for a Marvel or Disney movie by any means. But what we find is that leading up to this, there was a controversial speech where Brie Larson stood up, I think getting, I forgot what it was, like Women in Entertainment Award or whatever it was. So she does a stand up and accepts an award before the movie comes out, of course. But she's accepts award for a movie that, you know, hasn't come out. But she does the thing and she stands up and she says, there's a big problem with how movie reviews work. It's a bunch of old white guys, and that doesn't represent the culture. So she's saying we need to find quotas in the movie review system in order to get more opinions when it comes to movie reviews. As if anyone is restricted in their way of giving any opinions on the internet. If the internet has anything, it's a lot of opinions. So there's no restriction for anyone to give their opinions for this sort of thing. But she says, I'm not against old white guys, but we need less old white guys, is her moral of her speech or whatever it was. So she goes out there and she gives this speech, and a lot of people look how stupid and absurd it is, as if the quality of the movie is determined based on the person reviewing it. So people are going to be able to review this. They can look at it as a piece of artwork, right? It's movie, music, books, television, whatever it is. People can look at it for the artwork that it is and have a critique of it, and they can say if they like it or don't like it. She's saying that those are invalid because it's a bunch of white dudes giving the reviews. And that's her assessment of it. That's her opinion of it. And it doesn't actually represent the reality of it. You know, that her movie just might not be that good because she's been in movies in the past that weren't that good. But she said, oh, the only reason why is because, you know, it was a bunch of white dudes. So Captain Marvel comes out and people start tanking it online. They don't like it. And she says, well, there you go. Bunch of old white guys that hate women have to be the ones reviewing this thing right now. That's the only reason why people wouldn't like this movie. Sounds silly and stupid because it is. So this is what happens. And this is what's fascinating to me. What happens next is that one of the large websites that hosts these movie reviews, called Rotten Tomatoes, starts to change the reviews that are coming in. So what they do is they'll take reviews and they'll say it was a mixture of our algorithm messing up. Oh, the algorithm. Oh, don't you hate that when that happens? Oh, the algorithm gave us a problem. So we need to adjust for the algorithm. And next thing you know, a lot of these bad reviews start not showing up when it comes to giving the difference between the critics' reviews versus the people online, the people that watched it reviews. And there's a pretty big theory out there that the reason why they changed it was because the parent company, Disney, decided to either A, throw their weight around, or B, pay and give money and throw money and bribe these websites in order to make these changes so it didn't negatively reflect on this giant blockbuster movie they just put out. You know, I think there's a lot of validity that there's going to be pressure put on to some of these websites in order to make changes. And it's not just one website. It's even large companies like Google that are being accused of doing this, manipulating. So there have been people that have pointed out online that YouTube seems to have changed the way that they categorize this movie. So instead of looking at it as a movie, they decide to look at it as a news event. So when you go to YouTube or you go to Google and you type in this Captain Marvel or you do the main star, Brie Larson, who people are searching for right now, instead of you getting reviews where, yeah, there's negative ones that would pop up, it's going to the news section and they're categorizing it in a way where the bad news is at the bottom and they only show you positive news up top. Anyone that doesn't believe that companies and these social media networks and these big tech companies like Google, anyone that doesn't believe they're manipulating their search results in order to show favorable news coverage to the causes that they believe in, or at least their higher ups, their executives believe in, and they're purposely hiding opposing views when it comes to not only opinions, but news as well, you are, I think, throwing your head in the sand. They are absolutely manipulating search results. Absolutely. We know that they got caught manipulating search results over in the European Union, and they were fined $1 billion for doing it. Not million, billion, over $1 billion. And here in the United States, we know that they have the technology because they do it. And here's just another example of them doing it. It's the fact that before all of this outrage came out about bad reviews of the movie coming in, and before we're going to just maybe, I don't think it's that far of a stretch to say that a giant company and one of the largest media companies in the world, Disney, makes a phone call or throws a few money here or there, bribes or does whatever, or you know, tries to throw their weight around. I don't think it's that far of a stretch to think that Disney could pay off a few people in order to reverse some of these negative comments about the movie they just put out and have them change the way that these results are showing up. So if you do search Captain Marvel or Brie Larson or whatever it is, you're not going to see those negative people. They call it trolling. They say, if it's negative, it's got to be a troll. It could be a legitimate criticism. It could be a rightful criticism. You know, and if you have to stack the results, so criticism of your artwork or your movie or whatever it is disappearing, that goes back to, what's that movie, the Citizen Kane, where you have the guy who is this billionaire. He started a newspaper and now has the biggest chain of newspapers across the country, whatever it is. And he starts dating this girl and she's going on stage and she's giving these performances and she's not that good. But, hey, we're going to give her top billing. We're going to say everything's great. We're going to try to propel her career, even though she doesn't have the skill there. And he's going to do it anyway. He's going to use his power and his money and his fortune. And he's going to be able to manipulate his news in order to push this sort of thing. This is what we're seeing. It's like Citizen Kane. It's actually pretty ridiculous. So, you know, you could like the movie. You can hate the movie. I'd actually like to hear from someone who saw the movie. If you're a superhero fan and you saw the movie, give me your review. Tell me if it's any good or bad. You know, let me know what you think. I want to know if it's warranted or not. 314-436-7900 is the number. You can call or text that line or 800-925-1120. Either way, what I'm saying is people are accusing Disney of paying off these websites or using their power to try to manipulate these search results. I don't think it's far-fetched. In fact, I think it's likely that happened. I think it's much more likely that happened than the opposite, which was these companies just on their own decided to start changing these things up. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. All right, let's see. So, producer Ben, let's see, 270 eastbound is closed before 367. So, if you're traveling tonight, we know that there is a little bit of rain, so be careful. Take a little extra time. And even though there's not a lot of people on the road, still don't go around hot dogging it. So, 270 eastbound closed before 367. That's in North County near Christian Hospital. So, keep an eye out on that if you're traveling through that area. You know, one person, I'm looking at some of the messages that came through on Twitter. We're talking just at the start of the hour with Drex in the late shift up in Canada. We're talking about Lori Loughlin, and we were talking about how some college admission scandals and schemes that were going on, and you know how they were cheating and paying people to take tests and photoshopping their faces and making it look like they're viable athletes to try to get some of these spots at these schools. And some person texted in, so what law was broken? Are you kidding? So you think that that's perfectly normal and fine? So, by the way, they're being charged with racketeering, money laundering, conspiracy, and obstruction of justice. Yeah, so they're being charged with all kinds of stuff. It's not like they're just being shamed right now. Oh, we caught you, so you better stop doing it. Nope, not any of those things. So no one saw Captain Marvel. Anyone listening right now, there's not one person that actually went out and watched it this weekend. Maybe they're highly exaggerating the crowds of people that were going to go see it. The thing is with these Marvel movies, I think people are just starting to get tired of them. They have a solid schedule of these things, and there was a printing press going on where they'd put a Marvel movie out and make $150, $200 million, and everything was all fine and dandy. And they were doing the same thing with Star Wars. They thought, okay, we can space out a Star Wars movie. Every year we'll put another one out, and it'll make $1 billion. But even that last Star Wars movie didn't do all that hot from what I know. But then again, I don't watch the Star Wars movies either, so I'm pretty far removed from that. Let's see. You know, I was going to do this whole Proposition P thing, and I didn't really get a chance to do it. I don't even know if we have time to do it right now, but I guess I could. You know, and you're hearing this in the news right now on KMOX, and I'll tell you that Elliot did an excellent job over at Fox 2, where he does the You Paid For It segment, and it's one of the greatest pieces that the television networks do. Over at Fox 2, they just do a great job. And this is part of it, too. The question is, could Proposition P just be a giant bait and switch?
When St. Louis County Police needed money to fund things like the two-man cars, better pay to retain officers, and more money to update technology, they got Proposition P on the ballot. While the ballot measure simply said the money was for police and public safety, the police chief and others told the public exactly what that meant in commercials like this that flooded the airways.
We need more police officers. And we have to enhance the safety of our officers by adding two-man car teams in our precincts. And Proposition P will do that.
The same.
Yeah, and how about this? Let me play an ad I found online, because you can actually go onto YouTube and watch these ads and how they phrased and how they were trying to pitch Proposition P. And everyone heard it. And you know what? It's funny because a lot of people raised the red flag and they said, hey, it's written so vague, there's odds they don't even spend this on the actual police officers. And you know what? They came back and said, oh, no, trust us. It's going to go to the police officers. That was their response. I remember Charlie Brennan doing some great segments on this. And I remember people saying, hey, you know, we want police, but this isn't going to result in what you, or at least what they're pitching us. Like, here, listen to this ad they came out with.
In my 31 years in law enforcement, I have not experienced a more challenging time. Ladies and gentlemen, we need more police officers. And we have to enhance the safety of our officers by adding two-man car teams in our precincts. And Proposition P will do that.
We really need to have two officers to a police car, which we can't afford right now. Keeping St. Louis County families safe is the most important thing that we can do.
Proposition P will save lives.
Okay, so very forceful in the way they put this through. But yes, now we're looking at it as a bait and switch because the debate that's going on, and there was an actual vote on it hours ago, late Tuesday night, and you heard it, and you're going to continue to hear it during the overnight news here on KMOX with Alex Degman. But they're talking about how they're going to spend this money. They raised, what was it, $80 million or whatever? Yeah, Prop P generates around $80 million a year. Now they're talking about all these other things they're going to spend the money on, which are not police.
We'll do that.
The same message was conveyed in public meetings. St. Louis County voters overwhelmingly passed Proposition P 2 years ago.
Yep.
That's generated some $80 million. But politicians like St. Louis County Councilman Ernie Trackers had other ideas for that money beyond spending it on law enforcement, as the public was told.
What would your bill do?
It seeks to expand the definition of public safety personnel.
Tracker says that could include park rangers, people in the county councilor's office, and even include highway workers who work in a storm.
All of that, to me, is easily definable as public safety.
But that's not what voters were told when they voted on Proposition P. They said it was going to be for police.
What they were told and what they voted on are two different things, Elliot, and you know that.
Yeah, my contention is that the public believed that the money was going to law enforcement, which means police. That was their primary belief. And to spend it otherwise seemed like a deception.
It's not a deception. They should have read the initiative on the ballot.
Oh, it is a
deception.
Because
it was not limited to police.
It is such a deception. You know, there's no reason for him to get upset about this. They should have read that we were lying to them. This is essentially what he's saying. They should have known we as politicians are going to lie to you to get you to do whatever we want you to do. You know, that's what essentially he should be saying right now. You know, shame on this guy, seriously. It's shame on this guy.
What are your thoughts about the councilman who talked to Councilman Trackers wanting to use the Prop P money for other than law enforcement?
Yeah, I think it's very inappropriate. This should not happen, as a matter of fact. And I think this is one of the reasons at times you have this public sentiment that at times does not trust politicians.
That's how residents we talk to see things.
What made you know, why should we trust politicians? Because they do this junk all the time. And to be honest, when it comes to this whole Better Together merger, why should we trust them to even do what they say they're going to do? Why should we look at something as important as a city-county merger, something that is going to put governments together, something that's going to have a huge impact not only to this region, but to this region's history into the future? I mean, this is not just a one-and-done deal. So why in the world would we say, yeah, we're going to trust you to do what you're saying here in something that's going on a lot of times behind closed doors where we don't get to see exactly how this thing's going to be implemented, how the money's going to be spent, how the numbers add up? We don't get to see all this stuff. Why should we believe you? Why should we believe you after time after time after time you pulled this junk? Seriously. And you did it under the disguise that you're going to help the police that we desperately need to catch back up. You tell me if things are getting better. And it's crazy. What are they spending this money on? Oh, park rangers in highway, the highway workers and things, not even the patrolmen. You know, they're talking about putting this stuff into parks. Come on now.
They just support Prop P.
More law enforcement.
But now they want to spend it for other things like highway workers.
Exactly. That's not right. That's not what we were told.
We were told Prop P money has already been spent to give raises to secretaries in the prosecutor's office.
Tell me how that helps public safety. You know, I want to hear this. You know, oh, you should have read the proposal. You tell me the proposal says this is for public safety. Giving raises to secretaries. You tell me how that's helping public security. It's so ridiculous. It's just absurd.
And also to hike the pay of nurses in the jail. Alderman Tracker said was, well, people should have read the ballot measure more closely. It's their fault.
Well, that's a little arrogant if in fact he said that. Because the fact of the matter is, again, I was there. We sold this to the public. We convinced the public And they obviously convinced us that they support law enforcement here in St. Louis County.
And when the public was sold this idea of Prop P, nobody mentioned the MODOC crews.
MODOC crews, public safety for MODOC crews. This is it. When you see things and hear things like this, you should be upset because your government is working against you. They purposely lied to you and they gave you the wrong impression of this. When the bill says public safety, did it lay out, I don't know, secretary raises and things? Or did it say public safety? If you were to say public safety, do you think that means nurse raises and secretary raises and MODOT workers that are out there, you know, hanging out on the side of the road or whatever? Does that include for public safety? Or perhaps when you were specifically sold this, you were brought up over and over and over again, this is for police. It's just a big lie. It's just such a big lie.
Nobody mentioned the county prosecutor's secretaries either.
But the money was spent there anyway, so exactly. The money was being spent in ways other than the public believed it was going to be spent.
What the public's impression was is what it is.
Chief Belmar says a big danger in continuing to expand the definition of public safety to get Prop P money is that one day the money the public meant for police will be gone. Councilman Tracker's bill still has a long way to go.
Yeah, and you know what? They're still getting a lot of opposition, which happened on Tuesday night. You're going to continue to hear about it with the news here at the top of the hour. It's just so frustrating. How in the world can we trust the same government to merge these counties? How in the world can you trust them to do what's right for the people when they pull junk like this? It's something that they see as one of the most important things our region could be facing. You know, if it wasn't these same people that were put in control, then maybe we'd be able to trust them for something like that. How in the world can we look at a proposal like Better Together and believe we're going to see anything different than what we're already seeing? It's just so ridiculous. Well, that does it for us here tonight. Wow, I get to drive home all worked up. You know, we'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/overnight and your favorite podcast app as well. Fox 2 knocked it out of the park with that segment. Elliot Davis there. Great work from him. All right, have a great night. We'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.